and he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn. There he is from the dead. Amen. That in all things he might have preeminence. There it is. That's Paul again saying, hey, I'm going to be very clear about this. Hey, you there at Colossae that want to mix these Eastern religions, that want to have Gnosticism, that want to have the legalism, that want to go, I'm going to tell you, he's preeminent over everything.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus was not just the first person to be raised from the dead, but without his resurrection, there could be no resurrection for anyone else.
Right. Hallelujah, yeah. My God. You are awesome, Jesus.
The life of Jesus Christ is bracketed by two impossibilities. Number one, a virgin birth. On this side, and an empty tomb. On this side, two impossibilities. Jesus entered into a world that there was a door that said no entrance. And he left through a door that said no exit. There is nothing impossible for him. Amen. You can say, well, I don't know if God can enter a door that says no entrance, that he can walk out where it says no entrance. There is nothing that is impossible in your situation. He can't do anything because he is in the Greek, it means a protos, meaning first in rank or in influence. But another place that preeminence was used was in 3 John 1:9. And it said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephus, whatever his name is, he was a jerk. Yeah. Who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This preeminence, now I want you to get this. This preeminence in the Greek means philosos. See, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I didn't claim to be anyway, so you just have to deal with it. That preeminence means found of being first. Different from the preeminence of Christ Jesus. He's first in rank and influence. And this is found to be first. And you have to decide who's going to be first, God or you. Because Diotrephus, he had preeminence. He wanted to be first. He decided, I'm going to be the top dog. And so it's for you to decide, are you going to be first? Are you going to let God be first?
Yes, right, yes.
Preeminence will have an effect in your life.
Oh,
but are you going to be preeminent?
Yes.
Or is God?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Change me, Lord.
And then he said in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Ooh, man, it pleased himself so much. He said, man, this is the greatest plan I ever came up with. Man, that everything is around me. See, we... And that's what the devil had a problem with. He said, I will be.
Right.
God said, you ain't going to do nothing that I don't give you permission to do.
Right.
Because I'm preeminent.
Right.
But I got a plan.
Preach it.
And I'm going to make sure my plan keeps me in the center of everything.
Yes.
So all the fullness is the sum total of all the divine attributes and divine power of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Let me finish here in this. I'm going to finish this chapter in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Verse 20 said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, because Jesus was both God and man, he can function as the mediator to reconcile lost sinners to a holy God. This doesn't mean that everyone is saved. It just simply means that he cleared the path.
Yes.
He made the way for all sinners to be saved. Man. And you, verse 21, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We were alienated, estranged by our nature, our sinful nature. We were enemies. That word enemies means actively hostile. We were actively hostile because of the actions of our sins.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So we were not only estranged or alienated, our nature made us estranged from God, but we were actively fighting against God because we were in sin. But he said, I'm going to reconcile you. And that reconcile simply means to bring back a former state of harmony. And that's why sinners are restless. And that's why saints are restless when they're in sin. Because their nature and their actions are not aligning with the Spirit of God. And they're restless. And there's no peace. It's just a constant turmoil in their life. But when you get reconciled, there's a state of harmony. There's a state of peace that comes over. That the Bible said passes all understanding. To be reconciled the way he intended. Verse 22 said, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy. That's how he's reconciling us. To present you holy. Lord have mercy. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. We know that it was through his death. We're not saved by Jesus' life.
Yes.
We're saved by his death.
Yes.
We're resurrected because of his life.
Look. Yeah.
He is not just our example, but he is our Savior. Understand, when a judge in a court of law declares the defendant not guilty, the person is acquitted of all accusations.
Right.
Everything's gone.
Right.
Legally, they can never be accused again.
I believe that if they are, it's called double jeopardy. Or something.
Yes.
There's a law against that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been acquitted, you're done.
You can never be charged again. But we're finding out that that's not the case with the United States of America.
Yeah,
I won't go into that. Nonetheless.
Just because the United States does double jeopardy and they go ahead and try to do that anyways, doesn't mean that God does.
Right.
What's done is done. Wow. And it's so exciting to know that he might present you holy. Me?
What?
Some of you, I know you're better than me, and you think, well, yeah, of course I am. Not me.
I've got issues.
I got big time issues. Oh, so when he said he's going to present me holy,
wow, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool that he's presenting me holy, that he's presenting me unblameable.
Right, amen.
Huh? Yeah. That he's presenting me unreprovable in his sight. The most important thing is how you look to God.
Amen.
Whether you believe I repented or not, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
I know that has a lot of weight bearing on a lot of us, especially in Pentecostal ranks. Well, did they really pray through or not? Did they really repent of that or not? Go ahead. I'm just going to have myself a talk with Jesus. And I'm going to make sure everything's all right. And you want to look at me and question whether I repented or not? Go ahead. Knock yourself out and keep thinking about me. But I'm going to get my mind on Jesus. And I'm going to enjoy God's forgiveness. I'm going to enjoy God's mercy. I'm going to enjoy God's grace. It's in His sight that He makes me unbelievable. It's in His sight that He makes me unreprovable. And you can't do nothing about it.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Lord. I'm going to tell you, it may sound a little arrogant, but the deal is I'm tired of everybody else judging.
Yes.
You ain't got the last say. The judge does.
Right.
And matter of fact, you ain't part of the jury either.
Preach it. Yes. Preach it. Preach
it. You ain't part of the jury either.
Preach it.
You don't get to make any decisions.
Preach it.
I didn't say the church was the jury.
Yes. Preach it. Preach it. Yes.
But I'll.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
10 minutes. I got 6 more minutes left.
Yes.
Did I count right? God, some of y'all looked at your watch and you said I didn't count right.
Yes.
For the miles of all people. Of all people, you're keeping count. You can repent in just a minute.
Just even ignore it. Verse 23 said, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached. Why don't you get it at least here? I'll do it. You don't have to. Oh, it's right on. Where's that? Turn on. Okay, now you got hope. Okay. Because you know, as soon as the piano plays, you got hope. It's coming to an end. Paul said here in verse 23, be not moved away. Moved away from what? This gospel that I've preached to you for the last hour. This gospel message of God's love, of His Spirit infilling, of His forgiveness. Don't be moved from this. You know what? He used a physical example because Colossae was like the epicenter of constant earthquakes. And He even brings this in and He uses that right here. That don't be soon shaken. Everybody freaks out when there's an earthquake. He said, you know what? Don't just because things are shaking around you, don't be soon moved. Don't worry about the Jewish legalism. Don't worry about the Eastern philosophy. Don't worry about the agnostic and the don't worry about all the stuff that's going on.
Yes.
Don't be moved. Stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand firm in His love. Know that He loves you. Stand firm in His Spirit. Be filled with His Spirit.
Yes. Praise Him.
Everything I preached to you today, Paul was trying to say, this is what God wants. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. This is what God's looking for. And then he closes in verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. I'm taking on affliction and persecution as I'm writing this letter, but I'm rejoicing.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing. And you know what he was rejoicing? He was so excited to know, Epaphras, I'm so excited about you going to Colossae and preaching the gospel. I'm so excited about you, young man, that you got it that day and you got full. full of his spirit, and that you begin to testify, and you begin to preach to everybody around. And though you may be going through some difficult times, Epaphras, I'm so thankful. I'm rejoicing in all the issues that are at hand. I'm still excited about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is doing.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not careful. We're looking at all the negative around. We'll look at who's going this way and what's going on over here and how's this falling apart and other. We'll look at all the negative. And we'll forget about the power of the gospel.
Yes.
He said, "Wherefore, I am made a prisoner according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery that which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Aren't you thankful it's no longer a mystery? There's some of you even in this church today. As a matter of fact, Brother Derwin, you're one of them. That it was a mystery. It was something that you couldn't see. You didn't understand about the oneness of God. But God came in. Through preaching, through teaching, through reading the word, through studying, all of those things. But then one day God revealed. Opened the understanding. Some of you, one day you used to be that one that believed in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as separate entities. And you didn't understand it all, and it was a mystery, and you were told that this is just the way it is, and you just got to believe it.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. Oh. Then you heard the preaching of the oneness of the mighty God in Christ Jesus, where he robed himself in flesh to take on. I'm going to tell you, I want to give you 5 cents for a father that would send his son to die for everybody else.
Yes.
But there's something about a father that says,
praise,
I'll pay the price.
Praise.
Send your son to go die for everybody else? You're a coward.
Right.
You said, no. I'm going to do it. And so only son in relationship, not in a separate deity.
Right.
Only son in relationship to the beautiful mystery of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Jesus, reveal yourself here today. Give us wisdom. And the last 3 verses. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Let me tell you something. Those that have that revelation and understand the mystery, you're wealthy.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah,
your bank account may say $9.32. That's okay.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Don't sweat it. Be all right. Jesus is coming. Is he coming before next payday? I don't know, but he's going to be on time.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Always on time.
Don't worry about that. What you have in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, what you have in the understanding of who he is absolutely priceless. And then he said, which is Christ in you. The mystery now isn't something that you're looking through a glass darkly, so to speak, and you're not looking off in the distance, but now you're part of the mystery. I kind of see myself as God putting me into the book, the mystery, where some don't see and some don't understand. And they don't understand. They look at you and you say, no, you got to understand. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. And they look at you and go, yeah, okay, yeah. They go, no, you got to understand. And they just don't quite get it. You are part of their mystery now. Because once they step on the other side of that threshold, Brother Derwin, and they get the revelation. That's what makes you jump up. Yeah! Preach it! That's what makes you get up and walk around there and grab somebody's head that you've been excited about sharing the gospel with. Yeah! 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 You get excited. Because now you're not on this side of the mystery, but you're on this side of the mystery. And now you've got something we're shouting about, we're talking about, we're telling and proclaiming, preaching and teaching and testifying everywhere you go. Whom we preach, would you stand? Warning every man, see, she quit playing the piano. I'm giving you some more hope. Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I love the way Paul said that. He said, I'm preaching all this, but I want you to know it's still Christ working inside of me. It's still Christ working inside. I'm laboring here. I'm striving according to his work. If Paul can say that.
Come on now.
If Paul could say that. Man that writes 3/4 of the New Testament.
Yes.
But testifies to us even today. And he said, even right now, it's working in me. May this gospel work in us today.
Yes.
Some of us that are still facing that darkness of Satan that would try to overwhelm us. Well, we've prayed and asked God to forgive us, but we've walked out and we've went right back to those things, and
yes.
we've thought of those things again, and maybe we haven't acted them out, but we keep on reliving what we did. And
yes.
I want to tell you, Satan wants to bind you in darkness.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to get deliverance
yes. Yes.
is by being full
oh, Lord, deliver
of the Spirit.
Deliver me, oh Lord. Oh,
the mystery that had been hidden is now made known unto all of us. And it happens because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me tell you, Saint of God, you're frustrated, tired of stumbling, fumbling, tired of this or that, weak in your mind, weary in your flesh, your emotions hurting, your heart heavy. I'm going to tell you the remedy today. I'm going to give you the prescription, if you will,
yes.
for your healing.
Yes.
And that is being filled with the Spirit of God. Got a situation? Got a problem? Let me remind you today, somebody. You're facing things in your life that you don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle. You don't know how to take care. You don't know how to get from step A to step B. And you're somewhere in the middle. You see B over there, but you don't know. I'm telling you, God will give you wisdom. But you've got to lean on Him with all. Some of you ain't really ready to do that, are you? You're not really ready to lean on Him with all your weight because you're smart. Because you have skills. You have ability. You have all these things that, well, I haven't exhausted all of my resources. Why would you exhaust all your resources and not just lean on Him with all?
Amen.
Say, you know what? I ain't got it. I ain't as smart as I think I am. I ain't as strong as I think I am. I don't have it all together. God, give me wisdom. God, give me understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Lead me in the paths of truth and of righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And all these things I'll be added later. God will work them all out. But make him preeminent.
Yes, amen.
There's some of you today that he's been prominent in your life, but he's not preeminent. And I'm preaching to Souls Harbor right now. Make him preeminent today. Make him preeminent today. Don't just make him a piece. You brought Jesus today in your tie and in your suit and your combed hair and your dress and your this and your that. You brought Jesus out to play with today. But I'm going to beg you today not to go back and take Jesus and put him up in the closet and say, we'll see you on Wednesday. But no, put on Christ. Be filled with his spirit. Be filled with his spirit.
Oh, yes.
Be filled with his spirit.
Yes.
Does somebody want him to pour out? Do you want him to fill you up completely? Are you really? Oh, I don't know. You see, because you're weighing out all of the costs. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody right now. You're weighing the cost with your school, with your education, with your job, with this. Is it really worth it? It's worth it, I promise. If you will allow him to be preeminent and not just prominent. Is there anybody here today that you can be honest with yourself and say, you know what? You're right, preacher. You're right! I have made him prominent. I've made him a piece of my life, but not everything. I'd like to change that today. I'd like to change that today. I'd like that to be different today. I'm not going to lean on my own wisdom, my own understanding. I'm going to lean on you, Jesus. This is difficult for me, God. This hurts my pride because it's me saying I can't do it. That's it. That's it. That's a great step. You can't do it. Yes, it is going to hurt your pride. But throw your pride out the window and you'll have a better pride than you ever dreamed of. Because your pride, your hope, your confidence, everything will be in Jesus, who is the creator of all things. See, your pride's going to float away someday, one way or another. It may as well be today that you let go of your pride and you let Jesus come in and fill your soul through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let him flood you. Come on, some of you aren't full. Oh, you've got a little touch of him and you've been filled up a little bit. But come on, somebody, will you let the glory, will you let the power of his spirit fill you and let it overflow and let it start to affect everything around you today? Will you, young person, will you, mama, will you, daddy, will you, grandpa? This is personal right now. This is personal right now. And if you're looking around waiting for somebody else, you're going to miss the boat of his glory. You're going to miss the boat of his power, because he's not interested in so much in what everybody else is doing. But God's talking to you personally. He's rocking your world personally. He's talking to you personally. You put a no entrance sign at your door and you're trying to keep him out. But whether you put a no entrance there or not, he don't step in and say, what you gonna do about me? What you gonna do about me today? What you gonna do about me today? What you gonna do? What you gonna do about Jesus today? Come on. now. It's time today. It's time right now. Find a place to pray. Find a place to pray. Find a place to pray and seek God. Oh God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need you, Jesus, today. I'm tired of living in a self-sufficient, selfish manner. God, I need you. Help me, Lord, to shut out everything else that's crowding my life, that's crowding you out. God, I make you preeminent. Come on, some of you ain't made a move yet. And I've been beseeching you. I'm begging you today. Make a move. Make a move towards God. Make a move towards God. Don't just let this word